Donald probably wanted to be the first George Washington, let's be honest.
Still not bad being George Washington reincarnate.
Not bad. Sly Stallone. It's all kind of continuity here because Fry went to the Henry soundbite mm-hmm. with
Caleb,
and then we got Sly last night at Mar-a-Lago raving about Donald, calling him the second George Washington. That's pretty good.
It's not bad.
That's pretty. I mean, if you're going to be a president, you don't really don't want to be the second Taft, do you?
Taft was a big guy.
Fillmore. You want to be the second Millard Fillmore?
Not really. I'd like a better name than Millard.
Do we have how many Millards do we have in the state of Minnesota right now, Dave Harrigan?
Seven.
Okay, we have someone else in the studio. Someone else in the studio. You need to step to the mic. You need to introduce yourself. And how soon will you be running this radio station?
That remains to be seen. My name is Lindsey Brown. I'm very excited to return to the Chad Hartman Show. I was here last week, but
yes,
you were golfing. And so I'm not saying that today will probably supersede whatever I experienced last week, but we're off to a good start.
Yes. I mean, the buffoon who filled in for me, you got to be kidding me.
It was a good time.
You know that buffoon.
I learned things. Yeah, I know I'm going to learn some things today.
What not to do? I mean, he's lonely up in a deer stand right now. I mean, he's got a lot of issues. I mean, what did Carter do last week, Harrigan? Where were you cringing? Where were you embarrassed when Carter was in front of Lindsey?
I think the first cringe started when he walked in the door.
Yeah.
And I was reminded, tough day today.
Tough day?
Tough day today, yeah.
Tough day.
Not gonna be an easy one.
All right, Lindsey's going to be here. Yeah, are you pushing Harrigan out soon?
No, of course not.
No,
I would never do that to Dave.
Please, please. Yeah.
We go way back. He's got mouths to feed. I would never do such a thing. I'm just here to learn some things.
I can find another way.
To glean some knowledge and hopefully become a better overall human being in the process.
From this show?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I've heard some things.
Whoa.
You know?
That's a lot of responsibility.
My dad warned me, or I should say he prepared me. He goes, you don't even know what you're in for with Chad Hartman.
Yeah. Should we say that from now on in the open? We will make you a better human. 3 hours from now.
Positivity mindset. I'm trying something different this week.
You will feel so much better about yourself after listening to this show.
That's right. Well, we've already got it in the open, you know, courageous.
Courageous.
Ethical.
Yes, we do. Okay. You guys, you're another Hubbard person. I mean,
used to be.
Yeah.
Yep.
Former. Hubbard, you know, that's Brad's go-to. I mean, Hubbard.
He was the first guy who hired me ever in the radio business. So I owe a lot to Brad.
And you went to work for him again?
I did.
Woo.
He gave me a call earlier this year after I was leaving Las Vegas. I've been out covering sports there for the past almost 5 years or so.
Okay, so what was it like to live in Vegas?
It's a very different town than here. Very transient.
Really?
The people there are amazing. I love it. It's just weird where everything in the town is man-made. I know it kind of sounds weird, but when we drive around here, there's lawns, there's trees, there's parks. And
we got a couple lakes, I hear.
We have a few lakes, a few things that were here before we showed up, right?
Yeah.
Versus in Vegas, kind of everything that exists only exists because we made it to be in the last 50 years. And so it's a lot of strip malls where there's a nail salon, a bar that's open up 24 hours with slot machines you can play as you order your drinks. There's a gun show. There's a Cafe Rio and then maybe a Panera. And then it's just like copy, paste, hospital, casino. But it was really fun to ride the sports bubble there with the Golden Knights winning the Stanley Cup, hosting the Super Bowl.
Thanks a lot.
Las Vegas Aces went back-to-back before obviously losing this year. And so it was a fun ride, but I'm glad to be back here in the state of Minnesota.
Okay, you were hosting a show? You were producing a show?
Yeah, I did a little bit of both. I started in Odyssey when I first moved down there, and it was at the time CBS Sports Radio, and then it transitioned to The Bet. And so I was hosting a show called The Playmakers down there.
Oh, it's called The Bet. Transition,
because, you know, the only thing that really matters in sports is gambling now.
Yeah.
And so
that's a good name. The Bet.
The Bet. Well, everybody has it too.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And so I did that and then layoffs because that's the industry. And then I worked a little bit for Raider Nation Radio. So I got to cover the Raiders last year and
good
see
team.
That's
really
a word.
Team.
That's a word. Interesting. Great people around it. I don't know if they found their way out of the woods quite yet.
No.
But it was an unbelievable adventure. And I'm kind of nervous experiencing the winter this year because I've lost that winter coat that I developed growing up here. So lots of jackets.
Well, get used to it next week. Okay. During your off time, would you go to the strip or would you run from the strip?
Depends. If I had something to be there for, like a hockey game, or say I had family members visiting, I would kind of go into tourist mode on the strip where I would talk to the other workers that are, you know, working around the strip. I'm like, I'm one of you. I promise I'm not going to do anything stupid. And so I would just like put my headphones in and pretend I'm in a music video. Like, that's what I would do sometimes, just to go down there and walk around. But
yeah,
I'm not going to go to Champ Sports or to go get a new hat or anything, because shopping pricing, it's crazy down there.
Okay. What was your favorite thing to do on the strip?
Favorite thing to do on the strip? Oh, my goodness.
Because I, when I went to college in the 1400s, we could take a flight round trip from Sky Harbor, $25. So the first couple times when I'm just a kid at ASU, we drove. One time we drove after a Sting concert, okay? And my buddy drove. We drank too much. Not him, okay? We were at the Dash. Anybody who used to go to Tempe in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s knows about the Dash. And we decide, let's go to Vegas. And so four of us went. The two gals were in the back seat. I was in the passenger seat. But we fell asleep. And also my friend Tony tapped me on the shoulder and said, I'm in California.
Whoops.
Like, okay, what, how are we?
Wrong way on 94 that time.
How are we in California? So then I realized if you just would fly back then, it was $25. And so what I would do is we would take like an 11 o'clock flight on a Friday or Saturday night. And we'd go to the blackjack table and put down $25. If you'd win, you'd put the $25 away and you paid for your flight.
Mm-hmm.
If you lost, I would do it once, but was on a pretty good budget. I there were a couple times I lost, and then it could be, could I do 100 to make it back? No, I did not do it. But Vegas was so easy to get to. So I used to travel to Vegas a lot. Then last year, my youngest son loves slot machines.
Uh-oh.
Absolutely loves it. So this was guaranteed when we traveled out west that we drove from Palm Desert to Vegas. Again, we're not going to do that again. We're going to fly because it's not the greatest drive. In fact, on the way back, it's about the darkest drive back possible.
Mm-hmm.
You see another light about 2.5 hours. Kathleen was just freaking out over and over again. I'm like, you sit in the back and have Quinny sit in the front. You're scaring me and we're going to be fine. But it is amazing. But living out there for enough time, was there like one show, one restaurant, just people watching galore. That's amazing.
Yeah, the people watching was unbelievable. One of the things that was so unique to there is that most of the time when you have a concert, it's something that you plan for months ahead of time, or maybe even a couple of weeks. Like, that's like an on-the-whim decision.
Yeah.
There were a few times where it was 9 p.m. and my buddy would call me up and he would say, do you want to go see Jack Harlow at the club? And I'm like, Yeah, why not? And then you just go, and I'm not a huge substances person, so I would just go and have the experience, and even if I did need to sober up a little bit, I would just take laps and pretend I'm in a music video, and then I can go back and stay in my bed.
Yeah.
So I would just have like a little mini night in Vegas, and then I would just go back and be in my bed, and I'd have my own cheap breakfast and everything in the morning.
How far away did you stay?
It was about 10 minutes, but within 5 miles. Everybody's pretty close. I lived in Henderson when I first moved out there on the east side. They call that Hendertucky. But once I realized what the driving was like in Las Vegas, they call it Hendertucky. Once I realized
that's
the
really
driving
good
situation, I didn't want to drive on the highway as much because I just was convinced I was going to see people getting scraped off the highway, because everybody's driving around like they're playing Mario Kart out there. It's crazy.
That is.
I avoided highways like all the time. It was weird.
When we drove up there, and it was mainly just driving, parking. By the way, don't ever pay for your parking. We stayed.
You have to now.
Last year. So last year we.
Treasure Island's pretty much the only place where you don't have to pay on the strip.
Here's what happened. We stayed Bellagio, okay, because Quinny loves the fountains too.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to get the fountains, right? But then when we checked out, there was nobody checking. And unfortunately, I'd paid before, and you know it was inexpensive. You know,
Bellagio is known to be very cheap.
It was $2.50.
Nice.
You know, it was $2,500 to stay over there. But then there was nobody there.
Yeah.
But driving near, I'd say the 10 minutes and the 10 minutes out of Vegas, I think the average speed was about 120 miles an hour.
Yeah. Speed signs are optional.
Yeah.
Because you're getting a mix of transplants, whether that's like a New York driver or a Bostonian driver. So you get a lot of aggression. You have Californians. They don't know what they're doing, and they think the world is their oyster. They can do whatever they want. You got old people. You got people renting a Lotus for the first time so they can go take pictures in the mountains. So they're whipping U-ins and all that stuff.
Wait, renting a Lotus?
The cars I would see driving around there, it was nuts. I think I've seen – the only city that I think could outdo Vegas in cars is maybe like Dubai or something. You see, like, these obscene...
Did you work there for a couple years, too?
Dubai? No, my cousin lives there, though.
Jeez!
Yeah.
You're gone Monday, Arrigan. It's been a good run.
No way, Jose.
Oh, no.
Not that?
Oh, geez.
Anything but that.
Yeah. Okay, how about this? If you could spend one weekend anywhere on the planet for fun, where is it? Text me right now. Lindsay's offering up Vegas here just from her experience. Mm-hmm. She's not going back there now because she's lived there.
Yes.
Okay? So that's out. You get one weekend, and you create the scenario. Either you're with your significant other, or it's you and three friends, and you do whatever you want. And let's say you're living on the expenses you have, right? So it's not like, you know, you can't go to Dubai unless you're, you know—
My cousin, a princess,
your cousin. Yeah, you know,
cousin that can put you up at the nice apartment. Sure,
who's apparently worth $500 million.
Mm-hmm.
One weekend, anywhere on the planet. Where are you going? Maybe you're going back somewhere which you loved. Mm-hmm. Maybe you've heard about a place and you want to go there. You could call to or text. One weekend, pure fun. Either you and your significant other. Maybe you and your side piece, I don't know, whatever you're doing, you and your three friends, you set the scenario. Where are you going? 651-461-9226. Hall & Oates covers?
Not quite.
Yeah?
This is CeeLo Green's appearance on Live from Daryl's House. You familiar with that show?
I am. Actually, I was texting with Yadot, my guy PA, earlier, and he used to rave about that, Live from Daryl's House. I'm a huge Daryl Hall fan. I have not watched it. It's still out there, right?
Still out there. There are, I believe, 90 episodes that he has done.
Wow.
And I'm playing nothing but music from that show. Some are covers of Hall & Oates. Some are Daryl joining the specific artist, whoever it is, singing one of their tunes, because that show debuted 17 years ago today.
Whoa.
17 years. And I've seen a dozen episodes. They're really good.
Really
and
good?
I should watch more.
Okay, why are they really good?
Well, the music obviously is good, but, you know, it's storytelling. It's getting into the life of the artist that he's bringing in and, you know, how they collaborate on a song and, you know, okay, you do that part. Now here's where the drums come in, and they're kind of, you know, piecing it together, a lot of them, as they go along.
So our guy Dean Phillips just put this tweet out. We dealt with this a little bit involving Matt Gaetz the other day when somebody raised this possibility. We're going to have to raise this major in less than 10 minutes because here's what – Dean Phillips said, Matt Gaetz resigned from the 118th Congress, which concludes at year's end, but was just reelected to the 119th Congress to be sworn in January 3rd. The ethics report must be released. There's no way in bleep he can get away with this. If he's not approved, any 1,000% should not be the next attorney general of this country. Period. Full stop. Donald Trump should get a great deal of leeway. He's the president. Does he get more leeway because he won in such a resounding way? Maybe. Not this guy. He's not legally, ethically, or morally qualified. Period. Pick a Republican. You're not picking Keith Ellison. Your option is an Ellison or Gaetz. Pick another Trump loyalist, but not someone who trolls in filth like Matt Gaetz. So this cannot be his way around. And I'll bring this up, Major, the idea that the speaker says this would be a terrible precedent to release this ethics report, which was coming out today, which is why he quit the other day. Again, period, full stop. If the Senate's going to have advising consent, they need to see the ethics report. I fully expect it to come out. Don't you?
Yes.
Maybe it won't be in the most ethical way how it comes out, but it's going to come out. Okay, so we raised because of Lindsay in Vegas. If you could spend a weekend anywhere, your significant other, some other person in your life, three friends, where are you going just for a weekend? Do you have a place just for the weekend, Dave Harrigan? Where are you going?
I do. And because it's a weekend, I don't want to pick somewhere I have to fly halfway around the globe. That seems like a waste of time. I've been loving life the last 2 years in the Malibu area of L.A. That would be one great spot. But I haven't been to New York City since I was a kid. And if I've got one weekend and I'm going to have the ability to go somewhere and do anything I want to do, New York City is going to be the spot.
Yeah,
I think it's the easy choice.
Again, if it's financially, it's within your wheelhouse, man, there's a lot to do. Among the techs, San Diego and the Garrett compound, just hoping for a major sighting. There's security. There is a lot of security. I would take my husband and grown-up children to our favorite place on earth, North Captiva Island, Florida. No cars on the island. Fantastic weather. Amazing sunsets. Great to relax. Captiva is amazing. More text. New York with a friend, Broadway plays because I don't want to bother getting a passport. Oh, my gosh. You know the Dash. I love it. Finally, someone can appreciate the fine dining beer of the Dash. It was an iconic place in Tempe. Number 7 for this texter. That was my go-to. Visit Big Lou. Yeah, I mean, hang out with Big Lou. A safari in Africa. That's a heck of a weekend.
It's a big weekend.
I mean, that's a big weekend. You're rolling good because that's got to be a private plane too, right?
Yeah, I mean, you might find Jack Nicklaus there, as we learned.
That's true. This person wants to go with his wife to Cuba. Does Cuba appeal to you all?
No. If I'm going Caribbean, I think I'd probably go elsewhere.
Yeah. Fiji. More text. Steamboat Springs, Colorado in February. Go to the Kentucky Derby with my wife, then go to the Freight House with their top chef, Sarah Bradley's restaurant. Norway, again, heck of a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Again, we said a weekend, but for some, if they, right, there you go. Motel 6 Des Moines. It's tremendous.
Yeah.
Lindsay, is that it for you, the Motel 6 in Des Moines?
I'm more of a Red Roof gal.
Red Roof, I got it.
Continental breakfast included?
Yeah.
Ooh, waffle machine?
Every place has the waffle
That's
machine.
That's not true.
Right?
That's not true.
Really? Don't they all have the waffle machine?
When I was playing high school golf tournaments way up in God's country in northern Minnesota, it was a hit and miss proposition whether or not there was a waffle maker. But thank God there's Perkins.
Your favorite golf course outside the metro area is?
Forest Hills. I don't even know if you would call that outside the metro area. That's in Forest Lake.
That's borderline. The answer is Northland Country Club. Let's go.
Well, I haven't played it yet. Okay. You have a spot in a foursome somewhere for me?
Well, we can make that work.
Let's go.
Staples Motley. Sure. That's the way to go for sure. let's see. How confusing is it to have two Lindsey Browns in the Twin Cities? I think we'll somehow get by. I haven't quite figured out how.
We're taking over.
Cottage Grove to party at the Brundage Mansion. That's from Josh.
You're not getting inside.
Palm Springs, Waterville, Minnesota. Chad, lose the bleep edge. It becomes stale. You're not impressing anyone with your fake outrage and various issues. I'm not trying to impress anyone. I'm telling you how I feel, and it's not fake outrage. Matt Gaetz shouldn't be anywhere near the Attorney General's office. He's a buffoon. He's a lightweight, and he has been accused of having underage sex. She's testified to it in front of the Congress, and that's who's going to be our Attorney General? No bleeping way. That's for the texter. Longtime Dodgers aficionado Major Garrett is with us. Major is with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline.
Stop it.
Yes. I'm told you're wearing your Davy Lopes number 15 today.
Oh, my God.
And you have Tommy Lasorda's book right nearby. That is what Dave, is that what you're seeing right there?
Signed copy, I heard.
Signed copy, yeah. With Tommy right there. Matt Gaetz, your guy, Nominated by Donald Trump to be the next Attorney General of the United States of America. The all this happened on a flight when the president-elect mm-hmm. didn't like the names in front of him and had Matt Gaetz right in front of him and said, hey, you're loyal to me. You can be mm-hmm. my guy with the Vengeance Tour. You're my Attorney mm-hmm. General. He then resigns from Congress, and now the wait is about to happen. Let me ask you this, because today, as you know, I was mentioning this to the audience before he came on. If he doesn't resign Congress, today is the day that an ethics report, which started in April of 21, so really quick report mm-hmm. here, April 21, an ethics report about Matt Gaetz, including allegations of underage sex, sex trafficking. He was investigated by the Department of Judges, the Department of Justice, excuse me. The individual who reportedly may have been in tandem with them in this criminal behavior pled guilty, turned evidence on Gaetz. But to be clear, the Department of Justice did not charge Gaetz. They didn't think they had enough evidence to prove him guilty. But this ethics report would have come out today. It's not out today because he resigned. Do you think over the next few weeks that ethics report will see the light of day?
It might, but here's the dilemma with that. If it is leaked, Gaetz will say it's not the real report. Gaetz will say it's a manufactured, we don't know what this is, it has no official sanction, it has no official credibility, which he would question even if it did. But if it's leaked, then it becomes a partisan effort to smear him, and nobody knows if it's legit or not, and it becomes subject to the ever-convenient, nearly perpetual fog of Trumpist and Trumpist-adjacent deniability mm-hmm. or denialism.
Yep.
So let's just deconstruct what you said. First of all, the Trump Justice Department launched the investigation against Matt Gaetz.
Yes.
Either it is or it isn't a weaponized Justice Department.
It's a very good point.
I don't know.
Yes.
And it didn't bring charges. So either it is or it isn't a weaponized Justice Department. Second, before President Trump left office the first time, Matt Gaetz preemptively sought a pardon from him
mm-hmm.
for actions related to January 6th that he legitimately feared could lead to his own prosecution. So we have, for the very first time in our nation's history, a potential attorney general nominee with an FBI file as thick as a small rural Minnesota phone book, when they used to have them, and who sought a preemptive pardon from a president before being nominated as the next attorney general. I mean,
any John other Mitchell, time in our history, Major,
John Mitchell,
you could not
John
make that
Mitchell,
up.
John Mitchell, the most corrupt attorney general in the history of America.
Correct. Yep.
Richard Nixon's hand-selected henchman.
Yeah.
Against John Mitchell, John Mitchell looks like Felix Unger.
Underrated show, by the way. Don't downplay The Odd Couple, okay?
Love The Odd Couple.
Yes.
Love The Odd Couple.
Da 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 da.
And we should understand this, and we should understand this. This entire maneuver, whatever it may come to, was designed specifically in the moment to shield Matt Gaetz from the official release of this ethics report.
Let me jump in on that. Do you believe Donald Trump, a man who is obsessed with winning, will never acknowledge a loss, was willing to put Gaetz out there knowing he could not get him as an attorney, as his attorney general, but wanted to save him from a potential scathing and career-ending ethics report?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. And I don't rule out the possibility that Matt Gaetz becomes the Attorney General, because I don't rule out the possibility, and I would have a week ago, but I can no longer. Not the certainty, but the possibility that the Senate, led by Republicans, completely buckles under to Trump, recesses when the House Republicans recess, and Trump appoints Matt Gaetz and everybody else as recess appointments, and they hold cabinet positions unconfirmed for 2 full years, and the Senate relinquishes all of its power on advice and consent simply to avoid a knockdown, drag-out fight with this newly elected president.
This is Major Garrett here on CCO. As you know, Matt Gaetz is detested by numerous Republicans all throughout Capitol Hill for the allegations of his behavior and his known behavior, just drawing attention to himself, buffoonery, accusations, conspiracy theories. The Wall Street Journal, I'm sure you saw this in the last couple hours, suggested that it may be up to more than a dozen Republicans, to more than 30 Republicans in the Senate who are so bothered by Gaetz that they're willing to risk the wrath of Donald Trump, and they're going to say no. Could it be an overwhelming number of Republicans that would say no to Gaetz?
It is possible. It is certainly possible. That is how repellent a figure, and unqualified a figure, Matt Gaetz is. And don't listen to me. Listen to Mark Wayne Mullen,
yes,
Senator from Oklahoma, who
Correct.
Served in the House, who has given lurid live interviews that are now viewable on YouTube
Everyone.
About what Matt Gaetz would do on the House floor. He would walk around the House floor and take out his phone and show videos of women who he purported to have sex with and regale members endlessly with stories about his ED pop pill popping, followed by some energy drink, and go on and on.
On the floor of Congress.
On the floor of Congress, exactly.
Yep, this is the guy. Yep.
And not only that, Matt Gaetz single-handedly engineered the ouster of Kevin McCarthy, because Kevin McCarthy was allowing this investigation in the Ethics Committee to proceed. He would not kill it. That was the condition upon which Matt Gaetz said to McCarthy, if you don't kill this, I will oust you, or I will seek to oust you. He eventually did, as Speaker.
McCarthy has come off, Major, as convinced, as knowing that the evidence is true that Gaetz engaged at minimum in underage sex, let alone sex trafficking, illegal drugs, favors. McCarthy, again, no Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. This is a true conservative, knew that, in his opinion, Matt Gaetz was filth.
So Matt Gaetz may be defeated, but what I urge the audience over this weekend to listen to, and all next week, declarative statements from Senate Republican leaders that there will be a full-blown confirmation process. They are still equivocating on that, which means it is still possible that they cave and they give Trump whatever he wants. This is still a live ball. And I'm waiting for Senate Republican leaders to say the things that must be said. Must be said. We are going to have a confirmation process. The president will get away more often than not, as previous presidents have. But we are going to retain our constitutionally described powers of advise and consent.
Simple
as until
that.
They're declarative about that, we must all be nervous about what their actual intentions are. Now, back to Gaetz very quickly.
Yep.
In that sense, protecting him from the Ethics Committee, priority one. Priority two might be a head fake. Senate Republicans say, President Trump, for the love of God, anyone but Matt Gaetz.
Yep.
And he says, anyone? Anyone? Really? Okay. How about Jeff Clark, who wrote all the memos about seizing voting machines in 2020? We said anyone but Matt Gaetz. Okay, how about that guy? How about Ken Paxton, the attorney general from Texas? How about somebody who's probably more skilled, more bureaucratically capable, but just as Trumpian aligned, just as vengeance-fueled as Matt Gaetz would have been? That would be the part of this process as well.
It wouldn't shock me if it's this caddy from Mar-a-Lago. In all sincerity, come on down. Let's go to our next contestant. Who do we have, Dave Harrigan? We have RFK Jr., mm-hmm. the director of HHS. I thought I just saw mm-hmm. Howard Lutnick. I think I have the name right. Was on with Caitlin Collins a couple weeks ago. Guaranteeing that RFK Jr. would not have this responsibility. He'll have some role. No, he's got the main role. Now, I remember us talking in the summer about your interview with mm-hmm. RFK Jr. Share mm-hmm. that again and what stands out to you about Trump and RFK Jr. coming together and the role he will play as the head of this enormous and powerful agency in our country.
So I talked to RFK Jr. right after President Biden announced he was not seeking re-election, but before there had been this alliance and this endorsement of Trump by RFK Jr. So he was still denouncing both parties as corrupt and undermining the welfare, the health, the economic future of Americans. He abandoned all that, lined up with Trump, and was not insignificant in coalition building for Trump's ultimate victory. RFK Jr. has been allowed by Trump something that no one else in the Trumpian movement has ever been granted, the right to co-brand something off of MAGA, Make America Healthy Again,
yeah.
MAHA.
Right.
Okay? RFK Jr. is, in some respects, a serious person. He is very well-read. He is not very well-experienced. And he is, even as compared to Trump, a supreme narcissist who loves being at the center of the action and loves everyone paying attention to him. He has raised legitimate concerns, and I want to underscore this, legitimate concerns about the corporate influence on nutrition programs, what we feed our children, mm-hmm. how we feed our children, what are Big Pharma's roles in the approval of and regulatory powers exercised by the FDA. Half the FDA budget, as RFK Jr. says, comes from pharmaceutical companies.
All fair points to pursue, right?
All fair points. But he is dead wrong on vaccines, and he will not acknowledge his dead wrongness.
Yep.
He constantly, again this summer, said that vaccines, children vaccines, cause autism. They do not.
100%.
He talks about thimerosal.
Yep.
Thimerosal is a preservative, an ethyl mercury-based preservative in some vaccines. It has never been a preservative for mumps, measles or rubella, chickenpox or polio. Never. Those are the frontline vaccines for children to protect them and public health. And RFK Jr. continues to lie about his opposition and false claims that those vaccines lead to autism. He's also completely off base about the origins of COVID and that it was engineered to not infect Chinese or Ashkenazi Jews.
Yep.
Exactly. You know, these things are not science-based at all, yet he will go on extravagantly about how he is a rigorous science-based person. Plainly,
no,
he is not.
He's not. I got about 30 seconds left. I could give you 10 more on RFK Jr., right? You could, too. Is he going to really be in charge? What do you think? Is this all going to take place?
I think he's hard for Senate Republicans to vote against because of this component part he added to the Trump movement.
Yep. I think that's fair. All right. Steve Garvey, Bill Russell.
Oh, stop.
Who else? Reggie Smith.
Steve Garvey is a legitimate Padre hero.
Yeah.
Steve Garvey is a legitimate Padre hero.
I call him Dodger leftovers. I mean, is that really where you're at now? Dodgers leftovers? Dave, it's kind of sad.
Yeah,
Dodgers
really
leftovers. I mean, just
what happened to you?
I guess you're going to refer to the late, great Fernando Valenzuela that way, too.
All right. No comment. Just go back to Gary Coleman in left field. Okay, just stay there, okay? 53 Fast 12, Major on CCO.